We come today to chapter 11, verses 20 to 23 of Hebrews. We're looking at the subject, pass it on. I'll read the scripture individually as I come to it. In 1972, I think it was, I was in Dallas. Well, I went back. I had graduated earlier. I went back to the area to work on my dissertation at the Dallas Seminary Library. At the same time, there was a Here's Life Dallas, sponsored by the Campus Crusade for Christ. And we went to those functions. In fact, we had a table at the convention. And we were there in the Cotton Bowl. The Dallas Cowboy Stadium had not been built then. But here we were in the Cotton Bowl, and the whole place was jammed with believers. And the whole field, the kids were sitting down, and they covered the place. And they had a lot of singing and so forth. And then at the end, they turned all the lights out. They gave everybody a candle. And there were certain ones designated in areas, various places around the Cotton Bowl with a lighter of some kind. So they would light this one little spot, and you would see it wherever you were. You see it, a little spot over here, a little spot over here. And then you're supposed to hand your candle in, and it began to crowd. Really, it was beautiful. They were showing that only takes one spark. And they were singing as we went along. It only takes a spark to get the fire going. And it was just a beautiful thing. And that reminded me of this passage, passing it on. The covenant that God gave to Abraham was not just for Abraham. He said, for you and your people after you. And then all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Well, how are they going to be blessed? By passing it on. And so today, this is the passing on of the covenant that God had given. And he uses four people here. He uses Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. He says Moses, but really it's not Moses, because it was about his birth. It was Jochebed, his mother. So first of all, we have the man and his sons. And I hope you'll see yourself in here, that God uses the father to tell the son, and the son tells others. And later on, we'll see grandchildren and so forth. But here it is. Isaac, the second generation, and he says concerning him that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his two sons, concerning things to come. Remember, Abraham had passed it on to Isaac. We saw that last week. And now Isaac is going to pass it on to his sons. Isaac died at age 180. He lived a long while. And he's passing it on to his son. In his life, there were a couple of pictures of Jesus. Now, some people say, oh, that they're types. I don't think they're types, but they do have a good picture of Jesus. One, what we looked at last week, when Abraham put him on that altar, he was faithful unto death, obedient all the way to death, as Jesus was. Remember when they wanted to get a bridegroom for Isaac? Abraham sent a servant back to his homeland to get a bride for Isaac. Don't let him marry any of these heathen around here, he says. Go back to my homeland and get somebody. So this servant went to get somebody, and he found Rebekah. And the picture that I see there is that it's like the Holy Spirit going to get a bride for the son. The servant went to get a bride for Isaac. It's a good picture. I don't think a type, but a good picture of it. So his life, Isaac's life, pictured some things in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. His sons weren't picturing much like that. We'll see as we go along that Isaac's sons were not picturing Jesus at all. First of all, we see the decision of Esau in Genesis 25, 28 to 34. Isaac at this time was 137 years old. He lived another 43 after that. Esau didn't like the covenant. He disdained the covenant. He passed it over. I don't care about that. Jacob, called supplanter, he was the one who wanted the blessing. Jacob was the mother's favorite, and Esau was the father's favorite. You can hear that, can't you? Esau was out hunting. Oh, I'm going out and kill a bar or whatever. And go out and kill and work in the field. And he even says later on, he smelled like the field. Forget that. But that's what Esau was. And his father, that's my boy, you know. But Jacob was with his mother. Esau was called Red because he had red hair. And he was very hairy, his arms and so on. A very hairy person. In fact, the word Edom, the descendants of Esau were called the Edomites because of red, same word. So Esau came in from the field one day, hungry. And by the way, I'm going to be telling you a lot of these things that you already know. But we need to see if he's going to talk about Isaac and Jacob and Esau and so forth. We need to know what happened back there that shows that they were of faith. So Esau came in from the field one time, hungry. Jacob, of course, there had already cooked up a pot of beans, lentils or whatever. And he made a bargain with Esau. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the soup for the blessing. This was between them, not their father. And I think that Esau is saying to himself, if I don't get something to eat, I'm going to die. And if I die, what good is a blessing now? And so he said, okay, I'll give you the blessing. But as I say, between them and not the father. So then the deception of Jacob. By faith, he desired the blessing. But by fear, he went after it. He wanted the blessing. That's why he tricked his brother. I want that blessing. The blessing's worth something. And Esau said, I don't care. Sure, I'll take a pot of beans for it. So Jacob was after it, but he had to go past one more hurdle, and that is his father. God had already chosen Jacob. He says in Genesis 25:23, two nations are in your womb, and then the elder shall serve the younger. So Jacob is already determined, God determined he's going to get it, but he goes after it like, I've got to do it myself. Did you ever do that? God said, you're going to get a blessing, and you go after it. I've got to do this and this and this. No. A lot of people do this for salvation. God said, if you believe, you have eternal life. Well, I'm going to do this and this. I've got to work. I've got to do this. No. You have it. Jacob here was trying to get something that he already had. God was going to give it to him. In Malachi 1:21, we read this. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated, God said. But Jacob's a guy. And then Paul quotes that in Romans 12:12-13. He says, again, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now, that's a whole other sermon, so I won't try to discuss all that. But it's obvious that God had chosen Jacob over Esau. So Jacob is scheming to get what he already was supposed to have. I know there's the old saying, God helps those that help themselves. That's not in the Bible, by the way. But God helps those who help themselves. Now, I've added a little bit to it. God helps those who help themselves, but God help the man who thinks God needs help. God doesn't need your help. Accept it from his hand. So he tricked his father. His mother heard Esau say to his father, I'm going out and kill an animal. I'm going to come and I'm going to make you a nice meal. After you do that, you can bless me. Aha, getting close now. Rebecca said, oh no, we can't do that. And so she called Jacob in and said, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll cook up a savory meal for your father, only I'll do it with two goats. Go get me two goats. Well, Jacob can handle that. They're not wild. And brought them in there. But can you imagine the appetite of that man? Going to cook a meal for your father. Well, what should we get? Well, let's get two goats. I don't know how he ate all that. But she did that, and it was all ready for him. And so with that, they planned to trick his father. Now, when they did that, you know, they came in with it. Because he was a hairy man, they put animal skins on his arms. His father was, his eyes were bad, and he couldn't tell by sight. But he smelled the animal skins and felt the thing. All of that was to trick him. And he finally gave Jacob the blessing. So Isaac then thought enough of it. Thought enough of the covenant that God had to pass it on. He believed it. And I've got to pass it on to my son so he can go and carry it on. And he thought enough of it later on not to change his mind, because Esau came in and with his animal and made up the stew and brought it to his father and said, wait a minute, who are you? Well, I'm Esau. Well, Esau was just here. Oh, I know what it was. It was Jacob, your brother. He does this all the time. Then Esau said, well, bless me. I can't bless you. I've blessed him. There's no more blessing for you. The blessing has been passed on. And then Esau sought the blessing with tears. Now, in Hebrews 12:17, listen to this. For you know, he's speaking of that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he, Esau, was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, have you ever heard that preached Oh, one of these days, if you don't come to the Lord, you're going to look for a place of repentance and you're not going to find it, and you'll be crossing God's deadline and you won't ever be able to be saved. Has nothing to do with salvation. He's talking about, in fact, it has nothing to do with Esau trying to get saved. No, salvation is not there at all. What he's saying is that he was, and it's not even Esau's repentance. Who was crying here? Esau was crying. What was he trying to get? He was trying to get his father, Isaac, to change his mind. He sought a place of repentance with tears. Oh, Father. And he says right there, he was after him. Oh, do it. Please give me my blessing. Oh, please. And he cried tears. That's the context in which you have to read Hebrews 12:17. It was Esau trying to get Isaac to change his mind. He saw no place of repentance in Isaac, though he sought it with tears. That is the context. So, then we come to Jacob, a man with his grandsons. That's some of you better here. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Jacob was 147 years old at this time, getting ready to die. See, the Greeks have a saying, the child of my child is twice my child. And he's looking at his grandchildren here. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, if I'd known my grandchildren were so much fun, I'd have had them first. That's the kind of thing. Here's one. I saw what a third grader wrote about grandmothers. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she likes other people's children. A grandfather is a man grandmother. He walks with the boys and they talk about fishing and stuff like that. Grandmothers don't have to do a thing but be there. They're old, so they shouldn't play hard and shouldn't run. It's enough that they take us to the supermarket and have plenty of dimes for the pretend horse. They take us on walks and they slow down around pretty things like leaves and caterpillars. And they never say, hurry up. They can take their teeth and gums out. Grandmothers don't have to be smart. They just have to be there. Answer questions like, why isn't God married? And why do dogs chase cats? Grandmothers don't talk baby talk like visitors do. When they read to us, they don't skip pages. They don't mind if it's a same story over and over again. See, everybody should have a grandmother, especially if they don't have a TV. Because they're the only grown-ups who have time. That's what grandparents are doing. Grandparents are helping to raise that child. And they have influence. Well, that's what it was with Jacob. He was a grandfather. Now, the adoption of Joseph's children, he adopted them. They became part of his family. Joseph, remember, he was the son of Rachel, who was Jacob's favorite. And here's what he says about the adoption. Jacob says to Joseph, now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon are mine, they are mine. So he adopted these people. They're part of my tribe now. They are brothers to you, in fact. All right, so now he says, your two sons are mine. And then he says later on, your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in the inheritance. But your sons, they're mine. So Joseph received a double inheritance. Remember, when they went into the land, every tribe got a certain amount of land. And there are 12 plots of land. You ever think, how did they get 12 plots? Because Levites didn't get any. Levi's family did not get any land. Well, how come they have 12 pieces of land? That's because Joseph got two. Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, got two separate parts. So Joseph actually got double portion. Now, the attempt then to influence. Jacob was old. He couldn't see. He probably couldn't hear either. I hear that some people, when they get old, can't hear. Joseph put Manasseh on Jacob's right side, and he put Ephraim on the other side. Now, Manasseh's the older. So he thought, well, when he blesses, because he can't see what he's doing, when he blesses, he'll bless Manasseh as the one. He put his right hand on Manasseh, he gets the blessing. So when Joseph began to pray, Jacob began to pray, he crossed his hands and put his right hand on Ephraim, because Ephraim was the one who was to get the blessing. Well, that's the way it worked. The conferring of the blessing went to Ephraim, not to Manasseh. So it continued. Have you ever noticed this? Isaac was over Ishmael. Jacob was over Esau. Joseph was over Reuben. And Ephraim was over Manasseh. The elders was over the younger. So it took Jacob a lifetime to learn this discipline, but he learned it. And now he blessed the younger over the elder. Joseph was a man with his brothers, is the next one. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. Remember, we're passing the covenant on. We're passing on the promises of God down the line. And Joseph is a man with his brothers. He died at age 110. And we pick up the story after his brothers, remember, had sold him down to Egypt. And he was there in Egypt for 90 years before they finally came down. They sold him into slavery. And he had risen to power in Egypt. And then he saved the whole family from dying from starvation there in Israel. So he was the man with his brothers. He gave them encouragement, verse 24 of Genesis 50. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land in which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant still works, and it's going to be for you. And then the instructions, he said, he had been in Egypt now since he was 17. He's over 90. Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here. If he hadn't believed in that we get the land, he wouldn't have said anything about the bones. He believed it, and he's passing it on to them. So he made this request about his bones. And they complied. Later on, they're carrying the bones around, remember? Exodus 13:19 says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and he placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. And then when they got to the land, over 40 years later, Joshua 24:32, the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem. Then we come to the fourth one, and this is Jochebed, the woman with her husband. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. You see that? It's not Moses we're talking about. It's Moses' mother. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Jochebed, the woman with her husband. When we were in Bible college, Miami Christian College, we had a test that we gave to people, incoming freshmen. And one of the questions was, what is the name of Moses' mother and father? I don't know of very many who got it, probably Ray. I don't know of the other. I know one man got it. He got everything right. He got 100% on the test. But the name of his parents are Amram and Jochebed. We don't know that here in Exodus, but that's what their names were. So we've seen so far that men have gotten Israel into trouble. The men have just messed everything up. Here we're going to see that a mother and some other ladies are going to be the means of delivering Israel. The king's edict, of course, was kill all the male children because they're getting too many Israelites. Kill them all. And they resolved, and she resolved, as the passage goes, that she would not kill him. She hid him for 3 months. So why did they do that? Well, she says here, he was a beautiful child. Of course he was. He's your child. Of course he's a beautiful child. But she hid him because he was a beautiful child, and they weren't afraid of the king's command. The plan was this. Put him in a little boat. She made it, put pitch on it so it wouldn't leak, and put him out in the water, the Nile, apparently. His sister, Miriam, we don't learn about Miriam's name here, but it was his sister, who watched to see what would happen. And all this says to me is this. There are, I think, five different women here. in this passage, and none of their names are given. The midwives don't know who they are. Moses' mother, she's not named here. Pharaoh's daughter is not named. Moses' sister is not named. All these women are anonymous in Exodus 2. It doesn't matter who they are. It's what they did. The results then was, he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, remember, and his mother nursed him. Miriam came along and said, if you want one of the Hebrew ladies to nurse this child, I'll find one. Went and got his mother, and she got paid for taking care of her own child for probably 3 years until he was weaned. And those were the formative years. Moses never forgot he was a Hebrew. And later on, God's going to use that. Why? What's the reason for all this? Well, so that he could deliver his people, of course. See, there's a sovereign plan of God. Can you imagine? You look back on this. Abraham, 450 years before, had come to the land. And then Jacob, about 450 years before this time, had taken the people down into Egypt because of the famine. And all of this, there were 70 of them. And then 450 years in Egypt. So God said, I'm going to give you this land. Abraham comes out of Ur, the Chaldees, here he is here. God, I'm going to give you this land. Where are they for 450 years? They're in Egypt. Right? Are God's promises still standing? Sure. Because God has a sovereign plan, and he's always on course. Can we remember that? Can we remember that next week? See? God's plan is always on course. And we're going to run into some things that are really strange. I'm convinced that we're in the last days. And we're going to see some things before the rapture of the church. We're going to see some things that happen. What are we going to do? Well, let's listen to what he said, what happens here. God uses fathers. He uses grandfathers and grandmothers. He uses brothers and sisters. He uses mothers. Do you fit in any one of those? Probably more than one. You fit those in there. I can add sisters. Yeah, sisters. Yeah. We have another covenant. God gave them a covenant, and they were passing it on. Passing on here, passing on down, down, down. We had the same job. Pass the covenant on. See? Pass it on. It only takes a spark, remember, to pass it on. And God wants to use us. He wants to do it whoever we are. Every one of us is responsible to do this. Pass it on. Whoever we are, whenever we have opportunity. Do you have opportunity? Do you take all of them? No. Let me tell you something. Jim told us last week about the little book, right? He says, give it to everybody. Everybody you see, pass it on. He was out at our house Monday. Jim and Sylvia and Matthew were out there, and we had some things to do, and we all were working around there. And a little later on, we called the pizza place. Send us out some pizzas. We got three pizzas. I gave somebody some money, and they paid the thing. Next thing I know, Jim's out by the truck, by the pizza truck, handing the guy one of those little books. He told us to do it. He's doing it, see? Every time we have opportunity, we need to do that. Pass the word along. And however we can. We're not all the same. We're not all have the same gifts, the same personality. I'd like to. When I get out of here, I don't talk much. You notice that? It's not easy for me to strike up a conversation with somebody. Take the little book. Hey, would you like to have a book? Free book. However we can do it your way. And with whatever you have, do it. And whatever I have is what I use. I can't get anybody else. Because we need to pass it on. Pass it on, like these men did. Do the same and encourage others to do the same. Passing on the covenant that God gave us.